Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you again. We are grateful for the privilege to honor you, worship you, magnify your name. This evening we look up to you as a servant. We look to the hand of his master. Like the handmaiden, we look to the hand of her mistress, expecting to receive something definite of you. We trust that the Holy Spirit will have full manifestation in this place. Scripture says the Lord, it says now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so we ask for both the liberty of the Holy Spirit and the liberty of the sons of God. We give you praise and glory. Thank you, Father, because we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the wisdom of God or in the power of God. We ask, Lord, that we will know the things that are available to us right now so that we can receive them freely. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's good to be back here tonight again. Thank you so much, Pastor Zach, for the privilege and the honor to be in this meeting this year again. Thank you. Want to celebrate everyone who is also working with you, your wife, and every leader in this house, all the pastors and every leader. We celebrate every one of you. We trust that God will continue to take you higher and higher and higher. In Jesus' name. All right, Joel chapter 2, verse 23. That's my scripture yesterday. You know, maybe recap some of the things I said. Yesterday I came telling you I had a vision. In that vision I saw a rainbow. You know, and I, you know, on that rainbow were written words. And those words were primarily restoration. Praise the Lord. All right, and God said this restoration will manifest in wholeness and fast forwarding of times and season. Praise the Lord. And I said I will break it into two. I took time to talk about the rain yesterday and what the rain meant and how the rain can actually bless you if you have understanding of the rain. God is always sending rain. Praise the Lord. So when God wants to restore a people, and I made you understand yesterday that God is going to, there are twofold restoration that will be occurring. One, God will restore you, and then God will also restore to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I trust God that that is happening in your life already. That after this meeting, you'll be turned into another man. You'll be a different person other than the person you were. Maybe 2 days ago or a day ago. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But it's good to say this morning I woke up. Just woke up. And the word of God came to me and the Lord said to me, it is sorted. It is sorted. And when he said it is sorted, then he said, correctly arranged, repaired and settled. Correctly arrange. You know, I say you have to always hear from God's perspective. So when he said it is sorted, well, it could mean many things. You can put your interpretation to it. But when he said correctly arranged, repaired and settled, I had an understanding of what he's saying. So you can actually say God is sorting things out for you in this meeting. So I believe tonight God will sort out a lot of things. Praise the Lord. Okay, so back to Joel chapter 2 verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Praise the Lord. I read it one more time. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. And it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Praise the Lord. Now, when God said to me yesterday, or when I said, God, of course, God told me and said, this meeting, you know, this restoration will manifest in wholeness and fast forwarding of times and season. Now, I talked a little bit, I don't know if you captured that, but I took time to talk a little bit about what the rain will do, and part of it is wholeness. Praise the Lord. Wholeness, completeness, which means nothing lacking, nothing broken. Which means at the end of the day, you find out that whatsoever it is that you are looking for has actually been found. Yes. Hallelujah. Has been replaced. That's the wholeness. But today I want to go to the B part of that word, which has to do with fast forwarding of times and seasons. Times and seasons. As we were worshiping just a while ago, you know, they are just hanging up here. And they are here. Angels of God. Now, angels. Okay, I leave that. That's not my message necessarily, but they are hanging up here. Now, for them, there's no restriction when I say they're hanging. Some of them, you know, we flap. You know, when a bird sometimes wants to maintain, they flap their wings a while. Not all of them. There are some that don't have wings, but there are some that have wings. You study scripture, you understand that there are angels that have wings, there are angels that don't have wings. But they are all angels, so there are different kinds of angels, and they do different kinds of things. Now, but some of them just maintain, you know, flap their wings a little and maintain. And listen to me, the number of angels I'm seeing are more than the number of people I'm seeing. The number of angels I'm seeing, more than the number of people seated here, both inside and outside, and those that are still coming. Now, so you know they are serious tonight. And they are assigned to do specific things. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. Okay, I just want you to know the atmosphere we are in. So that your heart will be open to what they are doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Alright, so let's look at the scripture together. And let's look at what we can gain from there today. Praise the Lord. Now, when God says fast forwarding, what will that mean? It simply means God is going to do a quick walk. He's going to do a quick walk, praise the Lord, which means things are going to move in quick succession, praise the Lord, which means God is going to do something that should take a while, but God will cut it short in righteousness and do it immediately, praise the Lord. All right, here we are. Now, we discovered yesterday that rain symbolizes or actually means the word of God. And I said it's the instructive word. We said it means the proceeding word, the rhema word, a prophetic word, and then, yeah, you are good students. All right? This closing word, praise the Lord, which means the word that reveals the mind of God to you. You capture the mind of God by what he says. Praise the Lord. Now, that's what we discovered yesterday. Now, but look at this scripture, because this is interesting to me tonight as we ponder on this scripture tonight. It says, "For be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Why? For he has given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain when? In the first month." Now, take note of the word first month. The word first month, you know, in the Jewish calendar, you know, we operate by what we call Gregorian calendar. That's what we operate by. We operate January to December. They don't operate that. So when God says first month in Exodus chapter 12, give me Exodus chapter 12. I just read verse 1 and 2 to understand first month when God says first month. First month here is not referring to January. Hello. All right. So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12 verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt," while they were still in Egypt. They had not left Egypt yet, saying, verse 2 please, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months." So that's the first month of the year. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. He said, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, if you go to chapter 13, don't go there. You'll find out, I think, between verse 1 and 4, you'll find he called that month the month Abib. Now, that's the first month of the year that Joel was referring to when he says, God will give us both the early and the latter rain in the first month. So, the first month God was referring to, every Jewish person understand what that prophecy was saying. Which means God was simply saying, I'm going to give you both the early and the latter rain in the first month. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Praise the Lord. So the first month in the Jewish calendar, you know, is referred to, I called it now, Abib, the month Abib. Now the month Abib in our own calendar is April. So actually God changed their calendar. They just celebrated January, February, March. And then April, God came, God came in April and also said, this is the beginning of months, which means for you, this is like your January. Now, for us, we celebrate January, and every January 1st, everybody, you know, begin to shout Happy New Year. A Jewish person who follows the Jewish calendar doesn't celebrate. They wait until April 1st. And that's why you find out that even the financial year actually starts in April. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, the man who twisted April 1st to April Fool died mysteriously because he was joking with the timing of God. The man died a terrible death. You can Google it, it's there. You know why? Because he was making jest of God's time. I don't know if I'm communicating. All right, so it means, you know, it was in the month of April that they entered into their first month of the year. So for the Jewish people, they celebrate from April to March. So for them, it is April that is the first month of the year. Am I communicating? Yes, sir. Now, look at what the scripture says. It says, God will give you both the early and the latter rain in the first month. So the first month here we refer to what? April, is that right? Now, understand this, that in the land of Israel, just like it was in the days of Joel, you know, up till now, you find out that they have primarily, in Israel, they have two kinds of rain. What we call here, and it's there, you find it, they call it the former rain, or if you like, the first rain, amen, or the early rain, as we refer to it. And then he also has what he calls the latter rain, the last rain. Praise the Lord. If there's the first, then there will be the last. It's not the second rain, but the last rain. So there are two types of rain. Now follow what I'm saying to you, because this is very important to me. Now the first rain in Israel, comes about the month of September, October. That's when the first rain comes. And then the last rain will come about the month of March and April, fully April. Are you following me? Now, the month or the early rain is for planting. The latter rain is for harvest or for harvesting. Now, which means until you have planted, you cannot harvest. Am I communicating? So the early rain is for planting. The latter rain is for gathering. Are you following me? Now let's look at the scripture again. For he has given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now watch, I want you to understand this. So what God is simply saying, if we understand it, and I understand it in this house today, is that God is going to give us both the early and the latter rain. Now watch this. Now, between September, if you like, and April, how many months do you have? Maybe about 7 months. So, between the time we plant and the time we should harvest, normally, in the land of Israel, about this time, was going to be about 7 months. So, if you take September to April, that will give you about 7 months, I think. Praise the Lord. Now, but watch what God is saying to them. God is saying to them through the mouth of Joel, and that's what God is also saying to us. That what will take them 7 months, they will harvest it, plant and harvest in 1 month. Now, which means God is going to give them both the early, that's what he says, I will give you both the early and the latter rain in the first month, April. Which means God is simply saying, listen to me, what will have taken you 7 months to accomplish, I will give you in the same month. Because I will give you both the rain. It's the rain that determines what you harvest. Or what you plant and what you harvest. Oh, am I communicating? So he's going to give us both the early and the latter rain. He will collapse the season. Am I communicating, if you like, fast track the seasons so that we can both harvest as a result of both rains coming to play. Yesterday I was going to enter into that. Now there are two types of rain, spiritually speaking. God gives you the early rain that launches you in, but he also gives you the latter rain that completes it. And God can give you both rain at the same time. It's possible for God to give you a word that starts the process, but he also gives you a word that completes the process at the same time. Are you following? All right, let's look at scripture and establish that. Give me Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Amen? So when God says he's going to fast forward times and season, you need to understand what he's saying, which means you will not be using the normal time. He's going to cut the time and join it. You get what I'm saying to you? You cut and join. That's what God wants to do in your life. Praise the Lord. Now, Amos chapter 9, verse 13, look at what he says. He said, behold, the days come. I always like to read the scripture this way, or I want to read it this way today. Behold, the day is here. It's not coming. So we are not waiting for any day. The day has come. And we are here already. Alright? Behold, the day is come, or the day is here, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall do what? Overtake the reaper and the trader of grapes, him that soweth what? Seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall do what? Shall melt. Now, what is he saying? Can you imagine a plowman overtaking a reaper? Now, naturally, that doesn't happen. But if God introduces it, then it will happen. If God says so, it will happen. Praise the Lord. Now, give me in the message. I love it in the message. I think the best message for me, the message seemed to be the best translation so far. I've not seen any other one. See what it says. Yes, indeed. I like the word. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. In fact, it's not long. It's here. God's decree. Have you ever had a decree before? You know, for people who were born after military rule, you don't know what decree is. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, God does not operate democracy. It's called the kingdom of God. A kingdom is where you exercise or issue decrees. Are you with me? So, in the kingdom of God, we only have one king. His name is Jesus. All right? Where they operate a monarchy, you understand that everybody is a subject. So we are all subjects. He's the only one. His authority, his word is a law. It's not our word, who is his word. That's why it's not confirming your word. He confirms his word. But when his word is in your mouth, he confirms it. The Bible says the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs. He wasn't confirming. Who is Peter? You think it's Peter that God was confirming his word? No. You know, we read in scripture, the Bible says that, you know, Peter's shadow, it wasn't Peter's shadow. I wish the shadow of Peter can heal. The shadow of Peter can't heal anybody. But it's the shadow of the Holy Spirit on Peter that was healing. That's why it's called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Even though it's called Acts of the Apostles. But rightly, it should be called Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was the one walking through the apostles. I tell people that every ministry gift is owned by the Lord. It's the Lord who owns it. He only gave it to men, because his Bible says until he ascended up on high, then he gave gifts unto men. And some of the gifts he gave, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. So no prophet, no evangelist, no teacher can lay claim to any gift. Because they are not your gift. I just gave you, if I gave you my shoe to wear, do you own it? No. The day I demand for it, you return it. If somebody borrows you his car to use, you now go and do shakara with it and say, hello, can you see, you know, this new car that I just got? You know you are deceiving yourself and deceiving other people. The day the owner comes for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, so every gift is of Christ. That's why the Bible calls them the gift of Christ. They are not our gift, though. He just borrowed us to use. So when you see a teacher teaching, that is a dimension, a measure of the teaching gift of Christ operating in that individual. He's not the owner. Hello. Yes, so you can't lay claim to it. You can just say, well, by the grace. That's why Paul was careful to say that he did all he did by the grace of God. It's a function of God's grace. Yes, that's not him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still with me?
Yes,
all right. So decree is what I'm talking about. Now, during the military era, we had a lot of decree. And you know the way they would decree. You don't go through. There's no National Assembly. Now, the president cannot give a decree. He can't even pass a law. It will have to go through the National Assembly. And many believers operate with that mindset. They think the kingdom of God, we have to argue it with God first. No. God issues decree. You follow his decree. And then you get result. You know, but the good thing about God is that everything he tells you to do is actually for your good. Everything. Everything. Everything God tells you to do is not just for his own good alone, it's also for your good. Primarily for your good. So it is good to obey God. It pays to obey God. Praise the Lord. I think it's Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. It says, if you be willing and obedient. Many times people are obedient, but they are not willing. Hallelujah. Long time ago, I was listening to Kenneth He Hagin of blessed memory now. And he said for a while, he was in ministry, you know, after being in ministry for a while, one day he discovered that things are not just doing well for him. And yet he's preaching prosperity, but he had shoes with holes under. And so one day he was praying and seeking God and was asking, Lord, but you know, I've been obedient to you. The Lord said, yeah, you have been obedient, but you have not been willing. And he said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, scripture says if you are willing and obedient. He didn't say if you are obedient. You can be forced to be obedient because you don't want, you know, people, sometimes people, you know, in the places where people pay tithe, people pay tithe because they don't want to be cursed. It's not because they want to obey. It's like, if I don't pay now, thank you. I don't want locusts around me. I don't want the devourer. I want the devourer rebuked. So people walk from the point of doubt and fear, not necessarily faith. And that's why we don't get result. Because God is a God of faith. He operates by faith. God doesn't want you to operate by fear. Even the fear, when you read the fear that Noah operated by, you will understand that that's not the kind of fear that the Bible is talking about. That is reverence, see, which means holy fear. The Bible says fear came upon him and he obeyed God's word. It wasn't that he was afraid. No. He was revering God and then obeyed God. Am I communicating? So he said, you know, he had to repent. And then eventually the Lord said to him, if you are willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. So he became willing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I went to, you know, a secondary school, all boys school. And I remember in our secondary school, when I went to school, we used to have seniors. I remember the first time my parents just dropped me in school. And then I noticed a senior was calling somebody, Aaron Okon. Of course, we didn't know who is Aaron. All right, which means one goat there. Well, I'm not a goat, so why will I respond? Do you know later that man punished us? They was calling us with our parents. There was we didn't know we are in Rosa. All right, so we had some terrible seniors when I was in Form 1. All right, terrible seniors. And I remembered, you know, I and my friends sometimes, because we didn't have pipe bomb water in our school then, so we had to, you know, go all the way to the stream to fetch water. And I remember one of those times that this wicked senior, you know, asked us to go fetch water. All right? And as we were going, a friend of mine, my friend, actually, this friend of mine, we went together. And while we were going, he said, no, that you know what? He's going to pee inside. He's going to pee inside. So he did. He peed inside. He came back and the man drank part of it. All right, now, but that's not what I want you to see about. That's why it's not good to be wicked. You don't know what the other person will do to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's nice to be, it's good to be nice to everybody. Because even those who are cooking for you, you don't know what they are doing. The day they reveal it, you'll be amazed. Praise the Lord. Now, but this is what I want you to see. Now, we go to those, not because we go to those streams, or we go to those streams to fetch water, not because we want to. But we know if we don't, serious punishment. So, we actually go to fetch water, not because we were willing, but we're obedient. So, what does it mean to be obedient? So, to be obedient, you can be obedient, but yet you are not willing, which means it's not coming from your heart. You are doing it, but you are telling yourself, left for me, I wouldn't have done it. Are you following me?
Yes,
praise the Lord. A story was told about a schoolboy whose teacher came into their classroom. They were making so much noise. I said, okay, I want everybody to lift up their hands. And this guy said, well, I am lifting up my hand physically, but in my heart I am not. Well, that is disobedience still. Because if it's not coming from your heart, it simply means you are not doing it. Even though physically speaking, your hands are up. Are you following me?
Yes,
praise the Lord. So if
you
be willing and obedient, you will do what? You eat the good of the land. So obedience and willingness and obedience ties us to God's supply. So as you are obedient to God and you are willing to follow him, every time he speaks to you, you are just ever willing to obey God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1 says we should be more ready to hear than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Which means if you have not heard and you do something, you are a fool as far as the Bible is concerned. You need to hear before you act. Anything you are doing must be based on what you have heard or what you have received. If you have not received it, stay put. Just hold on a while. Praise the Lord. You say when you come to the house of God, you should keep what? Your foot. Your foot could be your physical foot, but it could also be your mind. Your mind can be wandering. All right, so you can be in church, but you are not in church. Physically speaking, everybody saw you. You are in church, and they saw what you wore. But actually, you are thinking about how tomorrow will be. And you are actually, while the message is going, you are not receiving anything. When it's offering time, you give, but you have missed it. Because you have not had anything. Oh, hallelujah. Now, these are some of the ways we miss out on the best of God. So God is speaking to you. God is bringing a word to you that will liberate you. But you are not hearing it, and yet you are offering. Or giving an offering. Or you are giving praise. So you need to... Am I communicating?
Yeah.
Alright, praise the Lord. Let me come back here. Alright, so Amos says, let's go back to Amos chapter 9 verse 13. He says, yes indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to what? Happen so fast, your head will swim. When your head starts swimming, it means you can't understand it. They are beyond your understanding, your intellect. God is doing things, and that's what I believe God is going to do in this meeting tonight. That God is going to do things that will make your head swim. All right? So he says, things are going to happen so fast that your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to what? Keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, what will happen? Blessings. Blessings like wine pouring forth of the mountain and hills. Praise the Lord. So God is going to do things in your life. When God says he's going to fast forward seasons and time, this is what God is saying. Which means he's going to do things that your mind can't take it. While you are sharing what God just did, God, another one just happened. That's what the scripture says. He said you will not be able to keep up with it. Now to keep up simply means you will not be able to analyze it. While you are thinking about how did that just happen and another one just happened. And while you are thinking about that, oh, two just happened. And while you are thinking about two, the three that just happened, oh, 10 just happened. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Are you still with me tonight? Praise the Lord. That's what that scripture is saying. And that's what God is saying when he says he's going to fast track or fast forward the seasons and times. Which means things are going to happen in your life that, listen to me, your mind can't capture it. God is going to bamboozle you. All right? Praise the Lord. He's going to wow you. You know, there are terminologies we use sometimes. We don't know scripturally. He also agrees. When you say, that person just wowed me. What are you saying? Oh, listen to me. God can wow people. Yes. I'll show you examples how God will wow you now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So things are going to happen so fast. God is going to walk in a way where, naturally speaking, listen to me, you are trying to still understand what is happening. And my friends, you just discover that you are far ahead. That God moves you from where you are, and God moves you, you know, far ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's establish it further. Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. Oh, I was reading this scripture today and I began to see some things that I never saw before. The scriptures are, just listen to me, the word of God is so deep. You can't exhaust it. Genesis chapter 48, I begin to read from verse 1, maybe read till about verse 9. Now watch what he says. Sometimes after, no, give me King James, sorry. Leave message. I don't know message in Genesis. I know it in Amos. Hallelujah. I don't know that. I can't relate with that. I don't think I have even, you know, taken my time to read the scripture in message or in the message translation. Okay, and it came to pass, after these things, all right, that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And what? Israel strengthened himself. There are things in this scripture that you may not realize, or maybe you know it. It says that Jacob was told that Joseph is coming. You was sick. Jacob was sick, and then news got to Joseph, all right, that Jacob was sick. Your father is sick. And so the Bible says he quickly decided to take his chariot to quickly make it up to his father. He thought, well, maybe my father will be departing. And so he took his two sons with him. I don't know about you, but you won't tell me that my father is about to depart and I'll be thinking about my children. I want to make it there. But Joseph had an understanding that he didn't want to make it there alone, because there's something he knew. Alright? Okay, so give me verse 1 again and then we connect it with verse 2. And after these things, and it came to pass after these things that that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. One told Joseph. So he was told that, hey, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Why didn't he take his wife? Why did he take his sons? What of the wife? Okay, maybe we'll have time to explain that. Where he took his two sons. Praise the Lord. I believe this, that even we drew them from school. Oh, he was already teaching senators. There were schools in this, at this time. Oh, you think it was only Joseph that was teaching? Because the Bible says Joseph taught senators. So they have schools for senators. That's why, you know, a nation that will progress must have school for senators. So even in our nation, we need schools for senators. It's only in our nation that we don't have schools. People go there and they don't know what they are saying. Some just sleep from morning till night. You don't even hear some talk. And they pay them very huge amount of money for doing nothing. You know, if we sit there, we'll do better than some of them. Why? Because they have not been educated. They have not been trained. So even far back in the days of Joseph and Pharaoh, they were teaching senators. They have senators, but they had to go through that school. Anybody that will go into politics, you must know what you want to go into. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. Praise the Lord. Where are we? Okay, thank you. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. Now watch this. And he took with him what? His two sons. Manasseh and Ephraim. Next verse, please. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. Which means
Joseph is around. Now watch what happened. And Israel. I thought it was Jacob that was told. But it was Israel that strengthened himself. So are there two types of people in this man? Yes, that's what the scripture is saying. Whenever he is Jacob, he's an ordinary man. When he strengthened himself and become Israel, he's a supernatural person. He becomes a prince. So you could even see the two playing here. Verse 2 again. And one told Jacob. Who was told? Jacob. But who strengthened himself? Israel. And sat upon the bed. Because he had something he needed to pass on. Jacob can't pass that, sir. Are you seeing that? Is it a mistake that the Holy Spirit penned it down that way? No. Because the one that Joseph was coming for was not Jacob. It was Israel. I'm not looking for Jacob, I'm looking for Israel. Hallelujah. In fact, if you read about Jacob, you'll find out that if you take Joseph out of Jacob's life, Jacob will be nowhere to be found. Everything about Jacob, the major steps he made in his life, Joseph had a part to play. For example, when he was in Laban's house, you remember he was in Laban's house for 20 years. All right? So he was there for 20 years. It was towards the 20th year that Joseph was born. And the Bible says when Joseph was born, he knew his time was up. So Joseph was the timekeeper, supernaturally or spiritually, telling him your time is up here. Why didn't he say that when Reuben was born? Why didn't he say that when, you know, Levi was born? No, he said that when Joseph was born. He just knew my time is up. So he went to Laban and said to him, my time is up. How did he know? Joseph is the one who whispered that to him. The birth of Joseph. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll leave that for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Israel did what? Strengthen himself and sat upon the bed. Let's read on. You'll find that you go back to Jacob again. And Jacob said unto Joseph. So you see Jacob. You see Israel in between Jacob. Huh? So Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me where? At Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me. Next verse, please. And said to me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land unto thy seed after thee, after for an everlasting possession. Now thy two sons, Ephraim, that's verse 5, right? Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came, unto thee into Egypt are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Let's read on. Verse 6. And the issue which thou begottest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. Next verse. And as for me, when I came to Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is what? Bethlehem. Next verse. And Israel, not Jacob now, Israel beheld Joseph's son and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God had given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will do what? I'll bless them. So let's stop here. I'll bless them. Now let's go back to verse 5 again. And then I'll read verse 8. I want to read verse 5 and read verse 8. Verse 5 and read verse 8. Now look at verse 5 again. Now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Give me verse 8 now. And Israel beheld Joseph's son and said, who are these? Now which means, in verse 5, he didn't know his grandchildren were there. He didn't even know. They came with Joseph, but they didn't know. Now, why will Joseph, you know, bring his children? Because he wanted a blessing from Israel. He knew there's a deposit of God upon this man called Israel. And he didn't want his children to miss out on it. That's why he took his children quickly. When he heard that his father was about to pass on, he said, no, they need to receive that portion, that patriarchal blessing that should rest on them, because there will be a generation that will continue after us. Are you getting me? So, in verse 5, now, so at this time he had not seen them. He didn't even know they were there. Now, if you read, you find out that later when you read on, you find out that even he wasn't really seen clearly. Okay? So, his eyes were not seen clearly. So, he was busy when Joseph came in. You know, he began to tell Joseph about his experience and how God took him and how God saved him. You know, began from how he left his father's house in Genesis chapter 28 and on and on and on. And how he got to Laban's house. Now, those were some of the things he was telling him. Then he says in verse 5. Now, take note of the word, and now. I like the word now. Now changes the equation. Now, which means whatsoever I'm telling you before now, what I'm going to say now becomes a law. It's stronger than every other thing I was saying before. The other one, consider them story. This one, no be story. Now, so watch what he says. He says, now thy two sons, Ephraim, and you know, before then the Bible says he brought his two sons. Manasseh is the first. Ephraim is the next. Now, listen to me. He had not started blessing them yet until, you know, we read from verse 10. Then he says you should bring them close so that he can bless them. And then eventually, you know, he crossed his hands. And then blessed, put the right hand on Ephraim and then the left hand on Manasseh, who was the first. And then eventually, you know, replaced them. But that's not where I'm going to. I'm coming somewhere. There's something else I want you to see. So in verse 5 again, he says, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee, or into thee, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall what? Be mine. Now watch what I want to show you. So what did he do? Which means by the Spirit of God, and by a prophetic spirit, if you like, he moved his grandchildren one generation ahead. Now, you can't do that. You can't do that naturally, except God is with you. So he moved them to equal their uncles. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why when you read later, you will not find the tribe of Joseph. You'll find the tribe. In the 12 tribes of Israel, you'll find Ephraim and Manasseh. So he just moved them and set them there. Now, who gave him the audacity? He was walking by the Spirit of God. Yeah. That's what God wants to do this evening. Yeah. I'm not done. So what did he do? He moved them one generation. Now, a generation according to scripture is between 100 to 120 years. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Now, God said that the children of Israel will be in a strange land, will be in Egypt for 4 generations. And people have argued, some people said, well, but they were there for 430 years. Well, God said how many generations? 4. So who lied? Is it that God didn't? Some people felt, well, God said 4 generations. So some people originally just said 400 years. They were supposed to be there for 400 years. Well, God said 4 generations. Yes, you could be right. But you see, a generation is between 100 to 120. That's why you find out that Moses lived 120 years. That's a generation. Do you understand me? Yes. All right, so I'm bringing something. So which means, what Jacob did was to move his grandchildren 100 to 120 years ahead of their lives. So they were operating at a frequency that was at the level of their dad. Now, in what? One, in wisdom. By that movement, which means they started operating at the frequency of their uncles in wisdom. Are you getting what I'm saying to you?
Yes,
number 2, in status. Your status change. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? What do I mean by that? Which means when Reuben and the rest of them call for a meeting, you know their own children can't be there. Yeah. But Ephraim and Manasseh will come and see. Are you understanding me? Now let's bring it to
You know our human understanding here. Now, there are cultures in our nation. The Yoruba culture has it to an extent. Now, if you can't sit with your uncles when they are deciding how the family should go. You come there, my friends, they will spank you out of there. Even if you're a little boy, they will tell you, go and stay with your mom. The Igbos take it more serious. You can't come there and talk. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, so you know you that's not where you should come to. But can you imagine? Maybe these children are 12 years old, 12 and maybe 14. And their uncles call for a meeting. I will show you something now, very soon. They call for a meeting. They'll come there and sit down. Whap. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Their nephews will be saying, what are you doing there, mister? We are not in the same place. Oh. Don't talk to us like that. We are decision makers. When it comes to Israel as a tribe or as a nation. Are you following me? So in wisdom, they were moved. In status, I said, they were also moved, right? Praise the Lord. In place, in inheritance and placement, they were moved. So in inheritance, they were not just going to inherit whatsoever is given to their father. Now they occupy that place. That's why there's no tribe of Joseph. There's tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. Hallelujah. But still look at this scripture. He says, now, thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. They are not yours. They are mine. If you have children after them, that you will say in verse 6, don't go there. Then they are yours. But you know Joseph didn't have children after these two. But he had children. But they were not biological children. They were spiritual children. Because even before his father will come here, he mentioned to his father, he said, God has made me father to Pharaoh. Now, so he was the father in the Lord of Pharaoh. That's what it means. When people talk about father in the Lord, he's my father in the Lord. Oh, my father in the Lord. Pharaoh had a father in the Lord. It was Joseph. Now, who do you think was ruling? You think it was Pharaoh? No, Joseph. Because in everything, anything you come to Pharaoh to tell, he say, go and meet Joseph. Anything he says. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he had other children. They were just not biological. They were spiritual children that he raised. One of them is Pharaoh. And he had others. Some of those senators that we talked about earlier. They were also his children. Because they submitted to him. He counseled them in everything. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you remember that when Joseph was going to die, he told his generation, he told his brothers and, you know, the children of Israel. He said, I know that God will visit you. But listen to me. Don't leave my bones when you are living. He said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Now, listen to me. What was he saying? Somebody said, it is only Joshua and Caleb, you know, in that generation, you know, apart from the younger people that made it. No, Joseph did. Because they carried his bones. So three, Joshua, Caleb, and Joseph made it to the land because they buried his bone there. Now, but that's not what he's saying. Medically speaking, you know, do we have any medical person here? When you use the word structure, if medically, terminology, you know, if the word structure is used, they are talking about bones. Bones refer to what? Structure. So when Joseph said, don't leave my bones here, which means don't leave my structure, what was he saying? It is my wisdom that built Egypt. Don't leave it here. Take it to Israel. That's why Israel is one of the greatest nations in the world. Because they didn't leave the structure. Wealth. The structure of wealth. is now with the Jews. That's why I said, don't leave it there. You talk about agriculture. Listen to me. It came from Joseph. That's why he told them, his brother, don't leave my structure here. Because if you leave it, you are going to start a new nation. You need my structure to build that nation. Are you following me? The Jewish nation is a tiny nation. But it's amazing that you can't come against them. If a Jew, a natural Jew, we are spiritual Jew, but we don't understand it so. But a natural Jew, if he starts a business here, you better relocate.
Yes.
There's something he knows. He may be smoking. He may tell you, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. But my friends, things prosper in their hand. Why is that so? Their connection to Abraham. They understand Abraham's blessing. We don't understand Abraham's blessing. Galatians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 13 and 14, that says that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Why? He made the curse for us. Christ was made the curse for us. So that the blessing of Abraham, verse 14, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile, which means we also are carriers of Abraham's blessing. You should not do a business and not do well. But the issue is ours operate through Jesus Christ. Jesus is a voice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus is a person, but he's a person when he reveals himself, he's a voice.
Yeah.
Which means for you to do well in what you are doing, you must hear his voice.
Yeah.
It tells you your location.
Yeah.
It tells you where you should be. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Then you do well.
Amen.
That's what the natural Jews understand. And you know, I learned from the Jewish people that they like to circulate their wealth. They don't allow it to go outside. They try to help each other. Are you with me? Oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
It's some things we also need to learn. But also, we need to be good at what we do. Because sometimes the reason why you take it out is because you are looking for somebody who is good. They say this person is good, and the person you give him money, before you see him come do that work, he takes a while. And he say, brother, you know, you are my brother now. He does not operate my brother. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so we are discovering here they were moved by their grandfather to equal their uncles. So in their fears of life, they are equals. Hallelujah. But there's a part there that I want to show you. He said, before I came unto thee into Egypt, am I as Reuben and Simeon. Who is Reuben? Reuben is the firstborn. Who is Simeon? Simeon is the secondborn. He said, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall what? Be mine. In other words, he moved them, not just to equal them, but Ephraim and Manasseh became the firstborn in the tribes, in the nation of Israel. Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
They became the determining factor. Because when you are the firstborn, you are the one who decides. They say, we want to go this way. Say, hold on. I need to be sure that that's the way we should go. And everybody waits for you. They can't decide until you come. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you know that also happened to David. When Samuel showed up and began to, he wanted to anoint the one that God said he should come anoint. God didn't tell him the name. I don't know why God didn't tell him the name, but I understand why God didn't tell him the name. Because sometimes God doesn't need to tell you the name. If you know the name, you'll be operating by sight, not by faith. If you know everything that God knows, will you need God? Hello? If you know everything, you know how everything is going to work. My friends, you won't exercise faith anymore.
Yeah.
You just say, oh, I know it's going to work. Don't worry. It's going to happen here. Then this will happen. Nah. That's why God doesn't reveal everything to you. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes you even pray, God, reveal to me. He doesn't. You say, God, why are you not revealing it to me? Because he wants you to keep walking with him by faith.
Amen.
Faith simply means, Lord, I trust you. I don't understand, but I trust you. I'm walking with you. I just trust you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Ooh, glory to God. I just captured a picture of a dam that has broken.
Yeah.
He's not being contained. He's been broken. There's a flow of God's blessing to you. Hallelujah. Okay, give me 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Give me verse 1 and 2. He moved them, so they became firstborn automatically. Are you there? Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn. But as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was what? Given unto the sons. His birthright was given to who? Are you still here? His birthright was given to who? The sons of Joseph. And the genealogy is not to be reckoned after birthright, natural. Because that was changed. So if he gave their birthright to the sons of Joseph, which Ephraim and Manasseh, what does that mean? It means they became firstborn. So when you say the firstborn among the children of Israel or among the children of Jacob, Ephraim and Manasseh answers first. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 2, please. And Judah prevailed above his brethren. And of him came the chief ruler. Okay. Pointing to Christ. Now, but the birthright was Joseph's. So who is the first? Ephraim and Manasseh. How did their father get to do that, or their grandfather? That's why Joseph took his two sons. He foresaw what is about to happen. And he said, I can't leave my children here. They need to be here. So that as the word is being proclaimed, they are receiving it. So that's how they were moved into their future. Will you consider that as fast forward?
Yes.
So they were fast forward. That's a fast. God, he just moved them ahead. I believe God is moving us ahead today.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, I still have more to share. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 17. Yesterday I read, Second Kings chapter 7. I read verse 1 yesterday. Where Elijah prophesied and said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, about this time tomorrow shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley be sold for a shekel where? In the gate of Samaria. And I was trying to describe that to you, refined flour. What is he doing? He's also fast tracking things for them. Which means what should take maybe months, because you will need to plant that corn or that maize, and then eventually allow it. It takes about 3 months, right? From the time you plant to the time you harvest, about 3 months. All right, then you harvest, then you will have to dry it. All right? Then when you dry it, you now take it to the grinding mill, and then you now go and grind it, and then after you now come and sieve it. Now, how many months do you think that will have taken? It depends on how sun is, because it has to be dry. Now, so let's, you know, roughly put it at maybe 7-8 months before you can actually eat from that corn. But Elisha gave it by the Spirit of God just in 24 hours. So what should take about 7-8 months happened in 24 hours. That's why that man couldn't believe what he was saying. If you had said probably it will happen in 3 months, maybe I would have concurred. But you said by this time tomorrow. Oh, glory to God. It's like me coming into this meeting. Is it possible somebody just come into this meeting and standing up and say, well, by this time tomorrow, Naira will be sold for, 1 Naira will be selling for $500. So if God should give us that kind of word, you can imagine how many people will not see it. So you can imagine how many people will see it and not experience it. They will die. the truth, because last night, people were killing their children to eat. And you say, tomorrow. How? But what does it take God to change Naira? What does it take God? Does it take him anything? It doesn't take him flexing his muscles. He just needs to utter it. And everything changes. He crashes the market. And Naira just begins to float. That's all God needs to do. Do you understand me? See, the God we serve, don't belittle him. Hello. Can God do it? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe God will do it. Do you understand? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When I was young, I remember, you know, Naira was so strong that with 200, at least in the, I remember maybe about 82 or so there, about 200 Naira, you can go to UK and come back. That's 200. 200 Naira note. You're okay. You just go. Yes. You hear people say, I'm going for weekend. I remember, you know, I grew up in Kano. So we had an international. We had people, you know, we just say, we are going for weekend. 200 Naira. You don't need more than. You know, you are looking at it like, 200 Naira? Really? I told my children that. Dad, are you serious? I said, very serious. Very, very serious. Praise the Lord. He said, so how did he? I said, well, many things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Naira was stronger than dollars by far. They were begging us. You shop, you go to UK, you go to US, you use Naira to shop. In New York. Alright, Times Square. You can spend Naira there, they will collect Naira. So, we have relieved, you just know, yeah, we are falling. But don't worry, the same God has a way. If everything is right, listen to me, God has not given up on us. Now, when God considers a nation, he considers his people. That's why God speaking, you know, through the mouth of God was speaking to Solomon. He said, if my people, not the people of the world, but if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their evil ways, then he says, I will heal their land. So God will respond because of his people. Unbelievers can't pray to God to turn this country around. No. In the first place, God doesn't even give them a hearing. The only thing they will, you know, that God will hear from them is mercy. God have mercy on me. That's what God will hear. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, that's just by the side. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So we could also see that God did a quick work for these people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay. First Kings chapter 18. Give me verse 44 to 46. You know the story very well. Elijah had just given a word and said, he hears a sound of abundance of rain. And then eventually told Ahab and said to him, hey, get your chariots and begin to go now to Jezreel. Alright? Now, I believe that in those days, kings will have the fastest chariots and horses. Right? Okay, so they will have the fastest chariots. And here was God speaking through Elijah. And Elijah said to him, just start going now. And the man started his journey. Now, but do you know what? The Bible says the hand of God came upon Elijah. Now, you know, Elijah was not a sprinter. He wasn't the same bold. That you say that's what he did for a living. So every morning he's in, you know, running, pop, 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 trying to beat any record. Elijah didn't do that. He wasn't fat, so he wasn't trying to lose weight. Oh, go and read about Elijah. You know he wasn't fat. He didn't have weight. He didn't have weight issue. The man who fasted for 40 days. In fact, he ate angel's food and was able to go in the strength of that angel's food for 40 days. He wasn't eating anything anymore. All right? The man who ravens could bring food for. Then you know that that man must not be eating too much. If ravens could bring you bread and meat, maybe, I don't know if there are two ravens or what. Okay, so ravens will come, and I commanded them. So they will come with bread and meat. And I was wondering what God was doing then. Now listen to me. God can use, you know, it is said that ravens are stingy, very stingy. See, they don't cater for their young. They eat first. That's the way they are wired. That's why when Noah sent a raven out, he didn't come back. Because they are carnivorous. They can also eat meat. Now, can you imagine what God will use to feed his prophet? Now, these are birds that are selfish. They feast on meat. And God is using them to bring meat. When I read that, listen to me. God can use the most stingy person to serve you. When you say, this person is very stingy, God will use him. Are you following me? So you need to understand that God can use anybody. And how many of you know it wasn't because God was tired of sending the ravens? That's why he changed his mind. When he now told Elijah, okay, I've commanded the widow woman. No, the reason why God did that was because there were two reasons, or three if you like. The first reason was that Elijah was hiding by the brook called Kerith. So God actually sent him there because he gave a word. Ahab was looking for him. If they found him, probably they would have killed him. So God brought him to a place where nobody was actually even thinking he would be. They were looking for him everywhere. If you read later, you'll find that, what's his name? Huh? Obadiah. Obadiah came to Elijah later and said, my master, you need to see my master. He said, go and tell you. No, actually he said, go and tell your master I'm coming to see him. He said, you want to kill me? Excuse me, sir. And then he explained, he said, I've been the one who have been catering for all these prophets and these righteous people. I've been giving them bread. So even in a bad government, you still find a righteous man there. You know why? God positions them there for a reason. With how wicked Ahab and Jezebel were, you still find a good man who believed in the covenant people of God and was taking care of them. So he said to Elijah, sir, please don't kill me before my time, because I know you, that just as I turn my back and I'm going, the Spirit of God will take you somewhere else where we can't find you. Don't you know that? He now explained that we have been looking. See, Ahab has been looking for you everywhere. So actually God was hiding him by the brook. Do you understand me? Now, the brook was going to dry, but that wasn't the reason. At this time, God knew that Ahab and his lieutenants will have been looking for a place to feed, I mean, for their horses, to drink. So they will have come to that brook. And they will have found him there. So God said, no, for that reason, change your location. I'm sending you to a widow. That's another place you will never even think a prophet will be dwelling. A widow woman. That's the first reason. The second reason was because God saw a widow who he wanted to help. That's why Jesus will say there are many widows in Israel, but unto none of them was Elijah sent. So Elijah was sent. It wasn't hunger that sent him. He was sent because God told him, I have commanded the widow woman to sustain. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God can send you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you know, in my own way, I was just thinking, God, why would you send Elijah to, why don't you send him to the richest person? No. The richest person won't honor the ministry or value the ministry of Elijah. But that woman was ready to eat and die. Did you remember that? Then Elijah entered the city and saw a woman gathering two sticks, not three, two. That's to show you how small the flour was. Because if you're able to cook anything with two sticks, not firewood, oh, sticks. Sticks is what you use to cane people. So you can imagine you have two and you are cooking with it. That's what the woman was speaking when Elijah saw her and said, can you give me water to drink? The woman said, no trouble. Water, no trouble. Even though water is also essential commodity, but because the brooks and the rivers were drying up at this time. 3.5 years, no rain. He said, well, no problem, but that I can give to you. He said, okay, while you are going, add food to it. He said, man of God. Well, this is the only mistake you are making now. Because what we have, even I and my son can eat it and live. He said, my son and I, or I and my son will eat and do what? And die. And you know what God taught me from there? He said, there are some things in your life that can kill you. You need to know them so that you don't eat it. You let it go. The things that can kill you, you better let it go. And God will have to give you revelation to understand them. It's not everything that is in your life that is for you. I was preaching in a redeemed church in Port Harcourt. And I remember there was this young man who was there. I had been to their church, the previous church he used to go to. I used to go there then almost every year. His pastor was close to me very well. So I'll travel all the way from Jos, then we were still in Jos. And I remember, you know, the first time I went to their church, God spoke and said, God told him that he was going to move him, you know, financially, and that he was going to have a job that will give him, as at that time, this was, that must be 98. God said to him he was going to have a job that will give him 24 million. And that job came the following year. And this guy started living big. He bought a car, very expensive car. I came into their church. He came to pick me with the car. Immediately from the airport, the Holy Spirit said to me, this car is not his car. You should give the car to his pastor. So I kept quiet. Of course, somebody just came to pick you. That's not the way to welcome the person. I said, Lord, this message, you must have another way we should deliver it. All right, so eventually, I was ministering. The word came again. I just summoned the courage. I said, well, I don't know, my brother. God just said I should tell you that that this car is not your car. You are driving somebody's car. It's not your own. And that he has told you that, but you have been stubborn with it, and you felt, you have helped your pastor in a couple of ways, you know, so you don't want to give. So after the service, he came to me and said, you were reading exactly what I also told God. I said, okay, fine. Well, God says it's not your cow, that you should give it to your pastor. But if you don't, you are going to have a very serious accident. Now, I saw a part, but I didn't tell him. It's not everything you share. Sometimes you see some things, you just tell the one that is necessary. Well, not everything is necessary, but I felt you will obey God. So the man complained to me. He said, do you know what? Even the car that his pastor is driving now, I bought him that car. I bought his wife this car. I said, oh, that's wonderful. But here is God telling you, it's not your car, that you are riding somebody's car. The man was offended, but eventually, you know, he didn't, I thought he would respond to the word of God. May I left? The following year, the guy called me. He was involved in a serious accident. He lost, you know, one of his legs. Then he was calling me and told me, he said, that he needs a miracle. I said, which miracle? God had already told you. You didn't act on the word of God. Are you getting me? I said, you know why God sustained your life? God kept you so that you will also have a reason to live right, repent, and walk with God. He said, Pastor, so what will happen now? You mean God will not replace this leg? I said, don't bother about the replacement of leg now. You know, some people think a pastor can do everything. You know, there are people who have this mindset. They think we can even do what God cannot do. Amen? You know, being in ministry for a while, I've seen all sorts of things. You see, people will tell you, Pastor, we just believe. See, if you just say it. And I will tell the people, it's not what I say, it's what God says. God honors his word, though, not mine. If you see God honoring, you think God is honoring my word. No, he's honoring his word in my mouth. Alright? But that's how that brother lost his leg. So thank God they gave him artificial leg. I was there the following year. You know, I saw him. He was in a bad shape. But eventually I encouraged him. And I told him he needs to be serious with God and walk back to God. I said, you know, I said, well, but you understand the reason why that happened. Now, I said that because of what I said earlier. That there are things in your life you need to know what is not your own. That you bought it with your money doesn't mean it's your own. That you shop, you use yourself as the size, doesn't mean it's your own. Are you hearing me? Now that's the way people operate, and you miss out on what God wants to do. I like to be a traffic warden in certain things. That the things that are not mine, I will be able to pass it on. So I don't try to keep it. Can you imagine those last smart people trying to keep that car? My friend, they will kill you. Those cars, you understand what I'm saying? So this woman said, we will eat and die. Which means she saw herself dying. So there's a meal that can kill you. Don't eat it. Give it to whom God is asking you to give it to. You understand me? All right. It doesn't mean everything you give. No. But you need to know the ones that are not yours so that you can easily let go. Pass it on. Praise the Lord. Be like a running tap. Huh? They turn you on. Water just flows away. Do you understand me? All right. Praise God. Now, but you know what happened to this woman eventually? Elijah said to the woman, he said, well, give me to eat first. I like the word, give me to eat first. And you know, he said to that woman, if you take time to read part of what he said, is, don't be afraid or fear not. Give me to eat first, because God is going to open, you know, sustenance plan for you. Which means God will sustain you during this period. And you know what God did? I'm sure you know the food wasn't surplus. He'll go, God just drop what they need to eat per time. That's the miracle of sustenance. Sometimes God will take you through a period and it's sustenance. So what you need to eat, you have it. What you need to live by, you have it. It's the extra that you don't have. It doesn't mean God has left you. It's sustenance. Just keep walking. A time will come when the rain will fall again. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I've learned about life as you walk with God is that when God opens a dam for you, it won't last. So you need to understand, like Joseph, plan for the rainy day. But people don't. So when money start coming into your hand, things start coming into your hand, God is also telling you, Mr. Man, plan. Because after a while, it will stop. These things are seasonal. Hallelujah. Amen. So your plan, when it's raining day, you are still enjoying what you have stored, saved. Yeah. So saving is not unscriptural. Yes. It's God's wisdom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. And then a season will come again when abundance will open up. Then you plan again and save against the rainy day because it will come. Now, when you studied, you know, from Genesis chapter 12, all right, and you read up till Malachi, you'll find out that the children of Israel experienced famine not once, not twice, not three times. In fact, between Abraham and Isaac, they all experienced, Abraham and Jacob, they all experienced famine. Abraham did. His was Genesis chapter 12. As he came out of Haran, entered into the land of Canaan, the Bible says he noticed there was famine. The people were in the land, and so he continued on to Egypt. And God said to him, what are you doing here? Because he almost took his wife from him, except for God's intervention. And then he came out from there and went back to the original place where he had built an altar. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Then you find that Isaac also experienced his, Genesis 26. There was famine in the land. He also was going to go where his father went to. And God said to him, hey guy, don't go anywhere. Stay in this land. This is your defining moment. So when there's tough time, that's when God wants to enrich you. Yeah. When things are hard, just look up to God and say, what are you saying? He will tell you. Yesterday we talked about ingenuity. That's one of the way God, that's how God helps his people out. Oh, praise God. Then Jacob experienced his. Where did he experience his own? He was in Canaan. There was no food in Canaan. They had to send to Egypt to buy. So both Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph experienced famine. And that wasn't the last. Elijah experienced famine. Elisha did. Who else do you want to talk about? Isaiah did. Jeremiah did. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So you'll find that even in the days of Jesus, if you study, you'll find out that they also had a kind of famine. Because they were under the yoke of the Romans. Do you understand me? All right, let me tie up the scriptures. And let's see what God said he will do. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit of God came upon Elijah. And he began to run. Now I told you he wasn't running as a sprinter. He was running like an ordinary man. Alright? He was just running naturally. But you know what? He was having extraordinary results. And you know what God told me tonight to tell you? You will be doing things normally. But you will be having extraordinary results. Now listen to me. Now, people say if you do extra, then you get the extra result. I understand that. But that's not what Elijah did. The hand of God just came on him. And he was still, you know, it's like jogging. Can you imagine you jogging? And you are overtaking chariots that are running between 30 to 40 miles per hour. Or kilometer, sorry. That a chariot, a good chariot can run between 30 to 40 kilometers per hour. Or between, you know, to 50 kilometers per hour. Now, can you imagine a man who is just running like this? You don't think he's doing anything. But the hand of God is on him. As he was doing that, he was overtaking and waving them. You know what that means? God gave him spikes on his feet. That's what God will do. There are people you think they are ahead of you. God will move you. You'll be waving them. So God will enable you to overtake the chariots of Ahab. Let me conclude this way. In John chapter 2, you don't need to sit anymore. In a wedding in Cana of Galilee, you know that wedding very well. Jesus was invited. His mother was invited. Jesus was invited and his disciples. They arrived at the wedding. But in that wedding, my friends, the mother of Jesus got to know that wine was finished. And the mother of Jesus, you know, to my amazement too, turned to Jesus and said, they don't have wine. And Jesus said, what do I have to do with you? Another way we can put it is, so, what is my concern about it? You were invited, I'm invited. Alright? If you're invited to a wedding, my brother, pastor, if you're invited to a wedding, and in that wedding they say, they come to meet you, it's an invitation, and they say, wine is finished. What will you say, sir? I think you'll be amazed. It's like, for goodness sake, what's that? Am I the father or the brother of the person getting married? What do I have to do? Do you understand? And the mother of Jesus, who wasn't also, she was also invited, was quickly saying, wine is finished. Jesus said, what do I have to do with you, woman? He says, my hour has not come yet. Or my hour is not yet. Now, in other words, she was just saying, it is not my time to do a miracle. If you read towards the end of that same chapter, you'll find out that the Bible says that was the first miracle that Jesus did. It wasn't a miracle of healing. Do you understand? He calls it the first miracle that Jesus did. Now, watch what I want to show you there. So, Jesus said, it's not my time, it's not my hour. But I also learned from there, one day I was reading, I think sometime last year, then the Holy Spirit said to me, did you notice that Jesus only said, it's not my time? He never said, it's not the time for the Holy Spirit. He only said, it's not my time. Now, why did Jesus say that? Which means, I am really not going to do anything much. But, if the servants are ready to do something, they will get result. That's why Jesus didn't do anything other than to speak. You remember the mother of Jesus said to them, he said, whatsoever I tells you to do, do. So Jesus didn't do anything other than to speak. And that miracle that happened was what the Bible will call, you know, when you read about the gifts of the Spirit, the workings of miracle. Workings of miracle happen when you do something to get the miracle. So Jesus didn't do anything. It was the servants that did something. He said, fill the water pots up. He only guided them. Fill the water pots up, they did. Then he said they should fetch the water and start giving to the governor. And they did. Now listen to me. I believe without a doubt that when Jesus spoke and said, fill the water pots up, and then he said, fetch. What did Jesus say they should fetch? Or draw? Water. Did he say draw wine? No, he still said what? Draw water. Now, so, which means, if I have understanding of what happened there, even when they drew that water, or fetched that water, it was still water. When did it turn to wine? When the governor of the feast drank it. Now, how many of you know the servants will have also, there's a tendency for them, but I don't think they did so. They'll have been looking, this thing never changed, oh. Because if they were looking, then they will move. So they just said, well, he said we should. Are you understanding me? Yes. Now, sometimes when you want to operate faith, you will have to throw your mind away. I traveled last year to Abuja. I finished what I went for. God said to me to go and see one or two people and minister to them. So I said, Lord, I will need to catch my flight. So I came in this morning. I need to go back with the last flight. So God said, go there. So I went, minister to the people. There was so much traffic that day. Okay, we were on our way back to the airport. And the Lord said to me, I said, Lord, you said I should minister to these people. This flight by now, I can't catch it. So the Lord said to me, I can sustain the time for you. I can sustain the time for you. But you need to understand that you will need to cooperate with me. I say, okay, Lord, sustain the time. And I want that flight not to be on ground yet. Which means move that time backward. He said, okay, I've done it. So we started our journey. Now, between that time to the airport, we stayed another 45 minutes. I still didn't make it to the airport till about 50 minutes. Now, but every time I was tempted to look at my wristwatch, and it came to me that if you do so, you nullify the law. Because there's a spiritual law that is sustaining time now. You can't look at time. I got tempted. I had my phone. I will almost want to pick my phone. Thank God. And nobody called me between that time. Nobody called me. Because God said that we have to cooperate with him. I understood what he meant. When he said cooperate with me, he said, listen to me.
lose sight of time. Because as long as you begin to look at time, you lose that power, that influence, all right, you will lose it. So I stopped looking at time, and then we moved. The guy driving me told me, he said, Pastor, that I am looking at time. I said, stop looking at time from now on. Focus on where you are driving. Don't look at any time. Nobody called him, nobody called me. See, when you are walking, God has a way of also sustaining everything. So, eventually we got to the airport. And when I got to the airport, I didn't ask a question if the flight has come and gone. You know, there's a law already operating. So I went, got to the counter. I had actually had somebody, you know, they checked me in. So they got my boarding pass waiting for me. So I collected my boarding pass and I went in. Then it occurred to me that that time needs to be released because we sustained time. So we need to release it. So by the time I got in and I sat down, the waiting lawn, I discovered that the plane hasn't come. I say, yeah, okay, fine. This 45 minutes. The plane hasn't left Lagos. They say, well, the plane left Lagos, but it went back to Lagos. I say, okay. Now let the plane come from Lagos and pick us. And the plane arrived. You know my amazement? The plane arrived 30 minutes after I said. Now it shouldn't take 30 minutes for the plane who went back to Lagos to come back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now these things are real. But the problem is, you see, when you allow the natural to interfere, your faith dwindles. And then you begin to look at it from the natural standpoint. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, Jesus said to these people, fill the water pot up, they did. Draw from it, they did. And then the man said, eventually, he said, the best wine. People give the best wine at the beginning. You people left the best for the last. Now, the one that Jesus produced was called what? The best wine. Or the one that the servant, Jesus and the servants produced was called what? The best wine. But this is where I'm going to. What did Jesus do? Jesus just compressed time. Compressed time. Am I coming? That's what he did. Because if you are going to produce wine, how long will it take to produce wine? They say wine is finished. By the instruction of Jesus, in less than 1 hour, I want to believe wine was produced. Now, if you're going to produce wine, you will need to plant vines. Then you wait maybe about 3 to 4 years thereabout or so before you now harvest. Then you crush it. All right? Is that so? Uh-huh. Then eventually before you will now, you know, get to fermenting it. And it is said that the longer a wine stays, the better. So if the governor says you give us the best wine, which means that wine was not less than 10 years. But it was given in less than an hour. Fill the water pot up, they did. Oh yeah, draw from it, they did. Am I communicating? That's all they did. What is he giving you? It's compressing time, sir. Which means things are going to work for you from now. In fast pace. We read earlier, he said you will not be able to cope up with what God is going to do, sir. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, why are these angels here? They came to fast track the seasons. That's why they are here. That's why I say everybody should stand. Why did I say should stand? Because we are about to enter into that period when they will begin to run and move things around in your life. Am I communicating? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Tonight, God said that is the night for me. And I just want to say it again, like I said earlier in the, you know, before I began to minister. He said, it is sorted. So, which means things are going to be sorted in our lives. Am I communicating? Now, some of you have been trusting God for definite things. They are happening right now. They are happening right now.
They are happening right now. Listen to me. We talked about Jacob earlier, who moved his grandchildren ahead. You know what God is going to do? God will move you ahead of your generation. In the name of Jesus. Things are going to happen in your life. Some of you have waited and said, oh God, if I can just be settled. God is saying you will be settled now. Your settlement has come. I don't know what dimension of settlement you need, but God's hand is here. And the Spirit of God is going to begin to do that right now. As we begin to speak to God. Sepete, le kopata, shinshunde baba, le brateke stebredela. Pare, pare. Cambro samaliando breakes. Lebreteke shega. Just open your heart as one who is receiving. Just open to receive. Just 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 receive. That's all you need to do tonight. I see that happening, Lord. Mora sembrande ke peshidia. Rale bando brakatama di dianos. Bole combre stemeniande brakashish. Le bora papa patele korenenge stelera. Rababote laga branda gechekele frepethi and the brahmana. Just access it, access it, access it, access it. Oh, rebaste pali. Prete colore mengeste balianja. Bandom, bandem, banden, konde, semdai, bondan, jongdai, kindai, seilai, damdo, shando, bande, kaliprasi, patolo rebe ketele, keteledo, 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 keteledo. There's a moving forward, there's a moving forward, there's a fast pace. Oh, there's a fast forwarding, a fast forwarding, a fast forwarding by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God. Yekabraso meridia, handrense, mendo kolo, shabeda daba kontom beridia, akresebedia. Oh, halabalia bakoridibis, halabarada bakalia bados. God is sorting it out tonight. God is sorting it out now. He's sorting it in your own life, in your family, sorting it out, in your place of work, is sorting it out, in your home, is sorting it out, in your marriage, is sorting it out. Ekabare sobedia, kare de baba baba kesto la baria ndoshina bandesa bandeko bandeka bandeko esulebete esudebete. Oh, God is turning men around. Allo kebrana megesto la bandre dice chi fetie tu. Elivane me fo de jamavi wana sofo no kopo mami venegides. Elivane to sem e di la kacha. Borete sibolata. Gele kotonge chige brana. Ale kombre samae. Oh, you are running and overtaking the chariots of Ahab. You are running and overtaking the chariots of Ahab. Those who have gone ahead of you, you are passing them quickly. You are going quickly. You are passing them quickly. The hand of God is upon you. He said he will cut it short in righteousness. God is cutting it short. He's cutting it short now. He's cutting it short now. It's the working of God. Yes, sa 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 sa. Rebete maya gondobas. Endrendo sime. Endrendo combe, endrende kise, endrende colo, endrende siba, endrende shube, endrende solo rebe. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Meke sobeli apa. Galiko sembrande kapapa tele gore deges. Yeah, 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 yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Have your way here. Have your way here. Have your way among your people. Rezo beteke le prepefi and the gabalis. Shale pom dam dem dom dengin tom dom da kem bande. Sendam do silibande prakestolo. Redetus. Rededosh, 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 careto sambra, ne metete tonde, pregele catamre de golosta. Just know how to receive it. Just know how to receive it. Just know how to receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Ele cose balian. Male comre sambedela. Greios. Yendanja. Randando. Rendengis. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Luke chapter 1 verse 38. Earlier in Luke chapter 1 verse 26. Don't go there. Just leave it at verse 38. Mary had just had a visitation from an angel. I'm just trying to connect you with what is happening here. The angel said, hello Mary, or hey Mary, you are favored of God, you are blessed among women, or above all women. And then, you know, the conversation went on, and the angel said, you're going to have a son. And Mary simply asked a question. How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? You see, every time we always think we need an involvement of somebody. But God can do things without somebody. And I want you to know that God is going, what is God is doing now is not doing it because of somebody. He's doing it without anybody. He's just getting involved with you and doing something. Okay? So Mary said, how shall this thing be, seeing I know no man? Then Gabriel replied and said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. There are two dimensions of the Spirit he spoke about. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Then he says, the power of the highest, or the Holy Spirit will come upon and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Now, the shadow there is what Peter experienced. That's why shadow was healing. It was the shadow. Now, the word shadow there simply means you will wear the Holy Spirit like a garment. That's how to receive. Which means when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you open up to the Holy Spirit and it comes upon you like a garment, then you have received it. Now, but watch what I'm going to say. So, Mary didn't ask any other question again. The next thing we will see is that Mary said, behold, the handmaid of me, it unto me according to thy word. Now watch this. And the angel did what? Now, why did the angel depart? There's nothing else to do. Now, watch. While we began to pray, I noticed these angels that were hanging here suddenly began to go up and down. Up and down. Up and down. And quickly, it became so real to me what is happening. We can have, you know, we can find it in scripture. Genesis chapter 28. And when you begin to read from verse 10, that's the experience of Jacob. He saw a ladder. Alright? And then he saw these angels that were what? Ascending. Why were they positioned here all this while? They have a job to do. While we started praying, they began to ascend and descend. Ascend and descend. Now, that is clear that they were doing both earthly, they were doing their work both on earth and also in the heavenlies. Because why will they be going up and down? Up and down. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, my understanding will be that they are going up to receive spiritual things and downloading it here on earth, bringing it on earth. It may be prayer request, it may be request that they are going for to receive answers and they are coming. So you are praying, they are taking your request and going up, and then they are receiving answers and bringing back. Now listen to me, but this is one thing God is saying. Many times the people of God don't know how to receive. You know the prodigal son. We talk about the prodigal son. Is there. That parable Jesus gave. You know the prodigal son know how to receive. He walked to his father. He said, Dad, give me the portion of my inheritance. That's how to receive. He didn't beg the father. Daddy, what? Did you say I have an inheritance? No. He just walked up to him. Give me the portion of my inheritance. He was so bold. Without fear.
All right? He wasn't timid. Took his father's goods, or he, well, what was his portion, went away, traveled to a far country, and the Bible says he lived a riotous life. Party every day. Wasted that fun. All right? Then he became very poor. Of course, if you don't know how to generate the resources, it will finish. So, he came to himself. You remember, he started even eating with pigs. And then he came to himself and said, no, this is not right. In my father's house, even servants are treated better than this. You remember he said so? That's when he got born again. He came to himself. What did he do? From that moment, he started walking back home. Alright? For the first time, I saw this boy, this prodigal son, ask his father, "Dad, I've sinned against heaven and earth. Consider me, just make me one of your servants." That's the first time I was hearing that boy saying that. And God said, "Watch what he will say next." Did you notice his father didn't answer that? His father said, "Bring what? A ring. Bring what? A shoe. Bring what? A robe." I thought he took his own portion. Where is he getting? Where did he get this other one from? Because you can't exhaust God. You can't. Because what Jesus was trying to teach is to understand our placement and what, you know, our connection with the Father. Now, but watch what he did. I thought the boy said, "Let me be one of your servants." Is that not what he said? Did you hear the boy refer to that again? He knew how to receive. When his father said, "Give him ring," he should have said, "Ah, Dad, no now. I say, you know, I've done wrong now." He stretched his hands. Give him a shoe to wear. The boy removed the one he brought and said, "Quickly." But you see, his elder brother didn't know how to listen.
Yes.
He said, "Dad, I've been with you all these years. I've been obedient to you. But you have not even given me a kid. Small goat. Little goat." And his father said, "But all these things are yours. You don't even need to ask me necessarily." So he was in that house, but he didn't know how to ask. So you can be a child of God and don't know how to ask the Father. So you are coming through, "Pastor, Pastor, please help me ask. Help me ask." You know, in some home, it's the last born that know how to ask. So the firstborn cannot just come and say, "You push the last born. Go and ask daddy that we want to eat chocolate." So he comes, "Daddy, we want to eat chocolate." And you know, a good dad or mom will understand that they are pushing this boy. This is not. Now, what am I saying? You need to understand. You need to know how to ask. Everything you are asking for now, God is not denying you. So what you just need to do is to embrace what God is giving you and receive it. And know that after tonight, am I communicating? The winds have changed. The seasons have changed. Listen to me. Things are going to happen so fast. That's what God said. That's the message I came with to this church this time around. That things are going to happen so fast. Listen to me. By the time you wake up, you yourself be wondering, how did he move this way? It will be like it is said in Psalm 120:26. When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, like the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with you." Lift up your hands and just receive. Father Lord, I have delivered the message you sent me into this assembly. You told me that in this season, you will fast track, fast forward things. You will make things happen in quick succession. You said after tonight, the people will enter into a dimension where things will be happening at a frequency where our minds cannot fathom them.
Tonight I have delivered your word. I ask, oh God, that even as you have spoken through me tonight, establish it upon these people. In the name of Jesus, I move you forward in the name of Jesus. I move you ahead of your peers, ahead of your contemporaries, ahead of your friends, in the name of Jesus. You will become the voice that everyone will listen to. In the name of Jesus. Oh, the atmosphere is changing to favor you. In the name of Jesus. You will run and overtake every chariot. Every chariot that has gone ahead of you, you will overtake them with ease. You will be doing things normally, but you will have extraordinary result. You will do things normally, but extraordinary result. In the name of Jesus. Every door has been opened. God has sorted you out tonight. In the name of Jesus. There's no barrier. There's no limit. So don't consider that there's a limit. Just walk on. Just walk on. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your angels that are walking among your people. See, whatsoever does not look like God in you has been eliminated tonight. Now, I didn't say will be eliminated. I said has been eliminated. Any sickness and disease in your life has been eliminated. Every every snail like walk, movement. You know how snails move. Observe snails. I've never seen a snail that moves very fast. They take their time. But every snail movement has been altered in your life in the name of Jesus. The strength of Elijah comes upon your feet. The strength of Elijah comes upon your life. The strength of Elijah comes upon your ministry. The strength of Elijah comes upon your business. The strength of Elijah comes upon you now. You will outrun the chariots of Ahab in the name of Jesus. The lands are falling unto you in pleasant places. The lines are falling unto you in pleasant places. In the name of Jesus. I want you to mark today's date down. Because you are going to refer to this day as a pile of things that are coming. Because they are piles. They are piles. They are piles. Hallelujah. Things are piling up. Things are piling up. The Bible says he daily loads us with benefit. The benefit of God for today is piling up. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just thank him tonight? Just bless his name. Just give him the glory. The glory. The glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory, the glory. The glory to God. 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 Whoosh. 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 Wow. You know what? I thought I was going to really come prophesy to people. But that's not the way God is leading me. There are things that have dropped on you. I'm telling you the truth. You know this, the angels are still working. No, they are not done. Some of you are going to experience experience them, their presence like never before. They'll become so real. Because some of you, even while you think you live here, they are with you. Because they are not done. You know, God said that he will restore you first before he will restore to you. So God will deal with you as a person first. And then God will begin to bring things into your life. Am I communicating? That's what God is doing. I can tell you that you are waking up into a new season. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. It will not be wrong if I greet you in this church. Happy New Year. Because it's a new season. I tell you the truth. It's a new season. It's a new season. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It doesn't make sense to my mind, but that's it. Happy New Year. Glory to God. Come on, congratulate 5 people. Happy New Year. Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Hallelujah!